listening to Cleveland and Beyond with Andy Billman and Jared Watson, brought to you by Evergreen Podcasts.
Holy cow, it's been a while. It's been a while, and we are live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. He's Andy Billman, I'm Jared Watson, and this podcast is brought to you by Waiting for Next Year. Check them out, original Cleveland sports reporting at waitingfornextyear.com. Also, we are a part of Evergreen Podcast. Well, hey, lots to talk about with the Indians. I don't know how much we're going to get into it in this episode, but we definitely want to touch on a few things like, what are they even? What are they? Are they good? I don't know. They keep winning, but we'll get into that. Myles Garrett retiring. But from what? Something else, not football. Don't worry. And the Cavs, I don't want to talk about them. You know why? Kobe Altman's still there, so I don't want to talk about them. But you know what? We might, because I can't help it. Andy's the other half of the show, and he's going to go there at some point.
No.
I can almost guarantee it. Not today.
Not today. Too quick of a show. Oh, no. Too much tribe.
This is a tribe-loaded show. So without further ado, let's talk about our Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians.
Is this team, like, for real or what?
It's good to be back. This team is... We haven't done a show in a while. Everybody brace yourselves. It's going to be quick tonight. This is a quick steroid pop. I've been fucking up the show. I've been too busy.
You haven't done it. No, don't worry about it.
Is this job shit?
You're busy out there in LA interviewing, I don't know, the likes of Kenny Lofton,
Jimmy Abbott.
Yeah. Don't worry.
But anyways. Mike Soule, who wrote the book. Anyways, I've been talking about this with Jared a lot, and I've been saying this a lot on the Instagram show. When I got into the season, I said, look, I think this is a transitional year.
Right.
So my expectations were not as high as it would have been last year or the year before. But as I've gone through the season, my hope is slowly building. And I will admit, I'm at a fork in the road. And my fork in the road is this. Are the Indians a team that are finding ways to win? They're going to improve. And they are in a crappy division. They're in the worst division in baseball. So will that allow them to propel themselves in the playoffs? Or... is this really who they are? They're defensive, sloppy. They don't have a first baseman. Their lack of starting depth pitching. I'm going to say it again. Their lack of starting depth pitching is now showing.
Yeah.
And they really don't have, outside of J-Ram and a couple other players, like, you know, throwing your Harold Ramirez's, Framil Reyes's out, so you can't say his name. And the lineup's just not enough. And they're going to start losing some of these games that they have Houdini acts. The Indians have Houdini acts, and I give them a lot of credit. They find ways to win. Sixth inning's been a magic number this year. They've had a lot of big sixth inning. There's been a lot of timely hits.
Two thirds of their runs have been scored in the sixth and beyond. It's insane.
Yeah, it's insane. So I come off of one of these situations where it's like, is this for real?
Yeah.
Or are we getting ready to get bucked in some of these games that we just escape Houdini acts? I am actually, surprisingly, even though I know it's a transitional year, I see improvement. I think there are things that can improve on this team. The starting pitching, the lack of depth, Plesac's going to come back. I think Savali is Savali. I think Bieber can pitch better. And I think you're going to finally get some better pitching out of one of these young arms. I don't know about two of them, but let's just say one. I think the hitting will improve, actually. I think I'm seeing that. The only thing on this team is defense. I don't have hope there.
All right. So defense is the glaring issue. Up the middle and in the outfield has been a problem.
Yeah, you can mark a lot of positions, but those are big two. Yeah.
Right. So let's just go ahead and say it's difficult because, again, here we go. This is, are the Indians for real or are they not? I like Ahmed Rosario out there because he can hit. I don't like Ahmed Rosario out there because he drives me nuts in the field. It's a catch-22. And for a lot of these positions, because this team has no depth, and because I feel like they aren't even done tooling with this lineup. We're a quarter of the way into this season, Andy, and this will not be the same lineup that it will be after the All-Star break and into the second half and third quarter of the season. I don't believe that. Yep. Because you're already looking at the young man. Why am I forgetting his name now? Owen Miller. Oh my goodness, Miller time. What is wrong with me? It has been a while. A little rusty.
Been a long time.
So Owen Miller, don't worry about him. He's going to hit the ball. That will come. He looks the part. Sweat that. The bottom line is, he's going to be up here. We just brought Bradley Zimmer up here.
Looks bad.
There's talks, and who's the Freeman kid that I thought that they were working at shortstop? Is there somebody else down that's in AAA or lower that is like killing it right now? It is Freeman.
Yep, Freeman's fine.
He's batting like 400.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's basically doing what we saw from Owen Miller before he came out. Yeah,
there's going to be a bit of a revolving door because I don't fucking care what anyone says. Jake Bowers I can't believe we're even still talking about him.
And Yu Chang. Yu Chang's playing significant time.
They're platooning multiple positions this way.
Yeah.
And it is driving me up a wall. I don't even think you leave Hedges behind the plate anymore.
Yeah, that's.
And stop platooning them at catcher and rotating those guys out.
Yeah.
Andy. Yeah. There's some guys that have come up. Ramirez, I like.
I like Ramirez.
Hernandez, I still like. There's Naylor seems to be getting together,
Naylor and Ahmed Rosario, it's an adventure with a glove. But they can hit. Really can hit.
So, again, what are we dealing with here? What? Are we dealing with a team that is going to be, in contention towards the end of the season? Or is this the best that we're going to get and they're going to fade out over time? We could talk quickly about I still don't have a bead on McKenzie because he'll go out there and he'll have shutout innings. He'll give up no runs in a game and then turn around and give up five or six. And literally, if you look at his stat line from the past, not counting the last two starts, but every start prior, it's almost like he goes, no runs, five runs, no runs, six runs, one run, five runs, one run, six. You've got nothing to go off of consistency wise to have a bead on what you're dealing with this Indians team. It is kind of fun to watch and kind of fucking maddening, Andy.
Yes. So yes. Yes. I mean, but again, they win games. Here's the difference. They're winning majority of these games. There's three roads with the Indians. The one of the roads is they have games like they did last night where it's like it's 6-5. They somehow get the right hits. They get right enough outs. It's a Maalox masher, but they get out of there with a win. That's one. Two, it's 3-1, 3-2. They win the games on pitching dominance. That was how they won a lot of the first half of these wins this year. Hey, podcast dads. Hey, Marissa McCool. Good to see you. Been a long time. Good to see him on Facebook. The other way is the Indians get blown out. The Indians have been very good in close games. To tell you how hodgepodgey this lineup is, I got a trivia question for everybody. Who was leading the team in home runs 3 weeks into April? Jordan Luplo. Who was?
Right. It was Luplo.
But my point is, like, there's been fits and gaps of things. And by the way, Luplo's injured. So there's been fits and gaps with this team all the way around. But you're starting to see stuff that I must say broadens your horizon. I'll get to the negative here in a second. Bradley Zimmer and Harold Ramirez are pleasant surprises. Like, Bradley Zimmer's only played three games. I'm seeing things for the first time in him. I really am. I'm not just saying that. Like, I'm seeing things where it's like, I want to see more of him. I agree with you about your Owen Miller comment. He just needs time. And he shouldn't be playing every day. He needs to be playing in little bits of that. The Indians force-fed that. And I don't blame them. They had no choice. But now you can start doing a little bit more of rotation with him. I like Harold Ramirez a lot. I think he's a pro. I think he needs to be playing every day. By the way, 2 years ago, he was batting cleanup for the Marlins. So this isn't like a guy who came off the street and we never heard of before. He was at one point that. So the Indians have this duct tape system where they're figuring things out. That gives me hope. So I know this can improve. Now, to the other side of this. Plesac's got to get healthy, and Plesac's got to become more of a leader. I know that's an well, what does that mean? Well, I'm telling you, Savali and Bieber, Jared, if they're gonna win, they have to have this. As I see Savali, I see Bieber. I think Bieber's gonna get better. Savali's having a great year. Okay, you can't like Tristan McKenzie, I like him, but he's a rook, he's a second year player who's having fits and starts. Logan Allen's falling off the rails. His ERA's at 13 now in Columbus, so I don't know if we're gonna see him again. But you know, I like what I've seen from McKenzie. He has good starts, he has bad starts, but I like what I'm seeing from these guys. Eli Morgan, way too young. Who knows? That guy Sandlin on the bullpen, nasty. So there's some things there, but the defensive errors are alarming. I not just bad, they are alarming.
And they come at the worst times.
Oh, and it's major league type stuff.
Worst times.
Like pop-ups, it's too sunny, and we drop the ball. In the first game of the doubleheader, twice, Rosario and Bowers drop fly balls that just barely made it in the outfield. Barely made in the outfield. I mean, you cannot do that.
You can't, but they're going to. Like, give me a reason why they're not going to do this in the future. Give me a reason. Tell me what's going to stop them from doing this.
The defense.
I don't know that they're going to be able to stop these.
I think the defensive errors is my only track of, I don't think it's going to get better.
No, they are who they are when it comes to defense, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy because this is a team that used to be so solid defensive.
So buttoned up. But not this year.
Another bright spot that I want to I want to bring up really quickly is the resurgence of Brad Shaw.
Oh my God, Brian Shaw.
Or Brian Shaw. All right, so I know that's what twice you meant. Now. Ding, twice that I've had a name problem, and I will find myself later.
Risen.
Brian Shaw is. I don't know. I didn't expect it. I did not expect it. Maybe it's the beard. Maybe it's maybe I should call him by the wrong name. Maybe that's it. I don't know what it is, but he has been incredible. And Tito has felt very comfortable putting him in tight spots, using him often, and so on and so forth. On the flip side of that, Karinchak's starting to make me a little nervous at times. Last night made me a little nervous. I told
you that was dicey.
He wanted to turn it into a save situation for himself.
That was dicey. That was dicey.
Well,
Classe's had some moments like that too.
Well, there was also, and without getting too far involved in it, because I have to look a little bit more, but I think White Sox fans are thinking Karinchak might have had a little something in his glove too at some point.
Yeah, Steve Stone on a broadcast announced last night that he sees a dark spot in his mitt, and he believes that dark spot is some sort of sticky substance that is allowing Karinchak to get a better grip on the ball. The White Sox and the Indians have a long history of hating each other.
Yep.
And this goes all the way back to Shoeless Joe Jackson. This goes back 100+ years. Yep. White Sox and Indians don't get along. Said bad incident with Albert Bell to what we're seeing here today, and there's many incidents in between. And if you talk to Cleveland Indians people, they will mumble under the breath. The White Sox, this is typical White Sox-Indians stuff. The Steve Stone is accurate. I don't know. This glove looked dark. Sure. What does that mean?
I did see it. Well, there's video of him putting his fingers in there too and looking a little iffy too. So,
I mean, look, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a guy who's going to go in there. Could they have something there? Sure. The guy flips the ball out of his mitt though so many times, it's impossible to really get a feeling for what he's doing. The only thing I will say though is Karinchak and Class A. Our ERAs are elite, but they're having moments where they're finally getting hit a little bit. So their ERAs are coming down. Going up, but it's only going up because, I mean, their ERAs at one point in early May were at 0.54, I think 0.30. So now they're like 1.5. And I mean, they're still very, very good elite ERAs. They're good pitchers. The only thing on this team, so what you're alluding to that is good, is again, they fill the gaps. Brian Shaw has filled the gap because Whitgren's not pitched well this year.
Right.
Boilermaker, love him, but like he hasn't pitched as well as he should have. But Brian Shaw's fit that role. That's a good sign. I think at some point Whitgren will figure that out and play better. Bieber, to me, I love his stats. I love his breaking stats. I'm not shitting on the man. I love him. He's not pitching as well as he could. I'm telling you, he's going to be better. I know Bieber's going to be better. Here's my big saving grace of why I have hope.
This division is terrible. Outside of the White Sox, it is the worst division in baseball. The Royals are terrible. The Tigers are worse. And the Twins are not playing anywhere where they should be.
Well, I mean, you can even look at division baseball. You're talking about a couple games ago where you had between McKenzie and Bieber, and I think they were back-to-back starts, going a combined 10 no-hit innings out of, or 11 no-hit innings, if I'm not mistaken. And I really, I have had this feeling in my gut, and I don't know where it's coming from this whole season, that one of these guys is going to get one. And part of it, I think, might have something to do with the fact that other guys have gotten them. Maybe it's that it's happened to us twice. But I feel like this pitching staff, there are certain guys who I think can get it. Now, we talk about Plesac, too. We talk about
Plesac's big.
Big. I don't have the hope in Plesac that you do.
I don't know if I do either.
Okay.
I'm just saying he has to do well.
I am not pleased with Plesac. I haven't been, and there's other things that no names please. I have other reasons to not be happy with that kid that are compounded with the reasons that pissed me off about him last season. So I'm really on the outs with him on my own feelings personally. And I also think that a lot of that comes from just the lack of maturity that I think that kid, I just don't see it. I don't see the growth. I don't see it. So, we're talking, drone to the finger, type stuff going on that I just don't get it.
So let's talk about, okay, let's do one or two things and let's go to Plesac. So Volley, I'm good with. You're having a great year. I think Bieber's going to improve.
Absolutely.
I think McKenzie is actually
growing. Which is crazy to say.
I think Bieber's going to get better. I don't think Bieber's had a great year. I think he's had a good year. I don't think he's had a great year. I think he's going to get great. I really do. He's figuring out the curveball. It's a process. He is trying to pitch longer, and he's changed, like a Tiger Woods thing, and when he was in the middle of his career, he's changing his swing. He's changing things, and you're seeing the results.
And he's still getting the strikeouts.
Oh, no, he's still getting the strikeouts, and he's pitching longer.
Right.
But the giving up is he's giving up runs. But again, I think they'll all figure it. I really do. I think Bieber will get through this. Yeah. Now, I think McKenzie's fine. It's a tip.
I think he will be fine.
Kluber, Sabathia, Cliffley, sophomore years for these pitchers are the worst. I'm telling you, you're going to have up and down, up and down. The thing I like about McKenzie is he fights and he gets through things and he settles down. That is a good sign. I wish Logan Allen the best. I just want to bring him up because he is not pitching well in Columbus. I hope he settles down. His ERA, I believe, is at 13 now. And I just hope for his sake he settles down. Now, the Plesac. It's bad. Logan's such a good kid. I really hope that works out. He's such a good story. Now, the Plesac. I'm with you. But Plesac and the Indians are going to go to the playoffs. Plesac has to pitch better. I hope he goes down the road of, I'll get positive hope. He talks to his dad, relies on his dad. To be like, how do I get to this next level? In this moment of breaking the chair is a moment where he has an aha moment. I don't know if that's the case here. There is a lot of Trevor Bauer and a lot of Clevenger right now hovering around the story. Well, and I know better. And so I'm saying that I don't know. But they have to win with him.
We talk about him leaning on his father. That makes me, and listen, I'm not making any judgments, but I will say, apples and trees. So who knows if that's even the best thing for him? I don't know. I'm not making the call. Yes, I know that I'm reckless speculation type dealing this right now. But what I'm saying is I'm not in a good place with Plesac.
I can't blame you. I'm not blaming you. I'm not as deep as you are, but I'm not naive. I've seen this play before.
Yeah.
And I know where this can go. All I'm saying is if the Indians make the playoffs, Plesac has to play a part.
And Eli Morgan. I would love nothing more than for him to be able to do that.
Have the game like you did in Seattle where you pitch 8 strong and you almost get a no-hitter. That's what you're hoping for here. What we saw in his last outing is what I've been seeing this year where we saw from Bauer, actually. what I thought we saw from Clevenger a couple of times, where he unravels fast and everything comes apart. He's had three games this year where it's like it unravels fast. I mean, fast. That Twins game, that unraveled fast, and it got loose fast. So that's something else. The saving grace, I want to pound this one more time. There, it is not even close. In fact, I think the National League is a better league this year than the AL. I think there are better teams in the National League. I don't think it's even close.
Outside of the Pirates.
Outside of the Pirates. Pirates are terrible. But I'll tell you what. I the Indians, to me anymore, when they play anybody else outside the Tigers, Twins, and Royals, 50-50. Just win one or two games and move on. Because they will dominate the Tigers. They will dominate the Royals. I think they'll win their fair share against the Twins. And if you do that, that gives you enough company wins. And for whatever reason, the Indians have actually played well against the White Sox again this year. The White Sox are very good. But the Indians are actually, I think, I got to double check. I think they're winning the season series right now. And they have played 10-plus games.
Yeah, I'd have to count that. I'm not sure.
But no. They've done well against the White Sox. They have.
Yeah.
They have. So there are things here. This is why last night's like, that should have been a loss last night. Brad Hand.
I thought it was, I can't believe it. I thought it was absolutely
a loss. And that's why, Jared, I have hope. Because when you win games like that, that tells me things are coming down. So I think this team is going to get better. I've already mentioned the police act thing and defense. First base, of course, needs to be improved. I don't know what they're doing at first base. Well, I don't get what they're doing at first base, but I've been saying that all year. So why? I don't know. That's the only thing at this point.
Well, there's a couple of little tweaks that will make, I mean, I genuinely feel this. There's a couple of little tweaks that this team can make that will make up the 2.5 game difference that they have right now with the White Sox. There's a couple of tweaks, a tweak at first base, figuring out what you're doing up the middle, maybe making a move in the outfield, something. I mean, like I said, not starting Hedges out there. I think that would absolutely make a difference. What I will say is this. When you look at their standings right now, when you look at the wins and losses, when you look at them at home and away, I love that they are still above 500 in both away games and in home games. And that's a bit of consistency that I did not expect them to have. I didn't think that at this point in the season that they would be above 500 at home and above 500 away. Because when you look at the White Sox, who are in first place in the AL Central, they're dominant at home. But they're on the road. They're on the road. They're dominant at home, the White Sox. Now, the Indians, above 500 at home and on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, as inconsistent as they are, they're pretty consistent. They're going to win a game or two more on the road every so often and at home every so often. I mean, it's they're going to stay. If they can hold that, I think that matters too. I really do. I think it matters.
I just think with the Tribe, there are police act coming through, crappy division really helps. And I do see improvement and hope. Now, how that's going to really run in the long run, the time will tell. The only thing, Jared, that I also want to mention, and then sadly, I have to go in 5 minutes, but here's my one thing I do want to mention. J-Ram has got to be publicized more. So here's my J-Ram moment, Jose Ramirez moment for everybody. This kid has proven a lot in the last 5 years in this town. Yeah. He has got to be celebrated more. He is having a great year on a team that needed him, and he has come through. On a year that everybody's like, well, Lindor's gone, so he's going to no.
That's exactly what I was going to say. On a year where everyone's flipping about
everyone
Lindor,
was shit
who's
on him.
Been the guy?
J-Ram.
J-Ram has been the guy more so than Lindor, and I will stand by. He has been.
He's
I have
good.
Always. I
fucking good? Fucking good. Really fucking good. Again, I just want to get my soapbox moment out there. People start getting into J-Ram. He loves this city. He is a good person. and he does well on the field, and he's likable. Jose Ramirez is my favorite player in the Indians.
Absolutely, 100%. And you can add me to that list because everyone knows who listens to this show. This is not a year where I very much like the Indians. The Indians as a name, the Indians as a franchise, the Indians ownership, the Indians regarding Major League Baseball and how they have handled some scandalous stuff. Yes. I am not a big fan of much about this team.
No.
I am a huge fan of Jose Ramirez.
Jose Ramirez is fabuloso. And again, I just want to say it again. He really is a big catalyst. I should have mentioned it earlier. He is a big catalyst. And I'll ding the bell too. Brian Shaw has been a godsend.
Brian Shaw has been so good.
And Luplo, beginning of the year, this team duct tapes wins to get victories. They duct tape wins.
Well, they were at one point early on, it was nothing but, you know, a different guy getting home runs, and they were scoring runs that way. It was kind of weird.
It's really weird.
All right. That's it for the Indians. We're gonna get deeper into the Indians over the next couple of weeks. I know that because we're really getting to a point where I think they're gonna be full capacity.
they are everywhere.
Here we are. It's baseball season and we're into it, and that's where we're gonna roll. I know that a lot of folks are like, oh, I just wish it was Brown season. I wish it was football season.
Yeah, I know, but this
team has actually slowly got me watching and kept me watching.
For people out there, this team, I will say, it's exciting. And they tip you off. When they lose, they get blown out. I mean, you will see.
Oh, yeah. You know when you can turn off the TV.
You can check the fuck out.
You can shut it down.
But when their games are good, they win 70% of the time.
Yeah, they're winning the tight ones.
They went back and forth.
They went back and forth with runs with that White Sox series. I think more than I saw them do all season.
And the White Sox, I'm just telling you, they are the better team, and the Indians are hanging with them, and they're winning that series.
Well, I got my reason. I know why that is, and it's because it's the same reason why I said, I think before the season even started, or early in the season, and that was, I don't think Tony La Russa is a good coach. I don't think he should be there. And I have said it at the beginning. And sure enough, over the past handful of weeks or month or so, we've heard those rumblings of certain situations, him not backing his own guys. So
well,
that's where I stand with that. I believe that it's possible that that team can kind of implode on that sort of stuff.
Real quickly on La Russa, I'm on the opposite. I think he's a great coach. I think it's a bad long-term solution. But I know he's prickly. I know a lot of the players in that team do not care for him. I don't follow the White Sox enough to understand. He's already in the Hall of Fame. He's a wonderful manager. Look, the thing is, though, in the long term, I agree with Jared. In the short term, though, this team looks different. The only thing about the White Sox, which is good for us, I think they're very cocky. And I don't think they should be cocky. I'll leave it there.
Agreed.
I don't think they should be cocky. And they're fucking cocky. And the Indians keep winning these series.
Real quickly,
sadly, I have to jump. We will do a longer show, I promise you. Now, real quickly, the Brownies.
The Cleveland Browns.
I don't care about this OTA stuff. I don't care about what's going on here in this team. I am so into the season and not into the preseason. It's going to be a big theme with me. I'm not going to read too much into this stuff. I just don't give a fuck. I'm sorry. Like, I'm reading into it. I'm seeing who's participating. I like to see the defense is there to practice. Even then, I'm surprised. I'm not into any of this.
So
kind of boring.
I'm going to leave all of the interest to the folks on Twitter, because really the extent of what anyone is even talking about with OTAs is who's there, who isn't, why aren't they there? They should be there. Miles is there. Why isn't Baker there? Why isn't Clowney there?
Fucking bullshit.
I don't fucking care.
This team, folks, is going to Super Bowl.
Those guys were working out on their own time prior to OTAs, doing their own. Yeah. Shut the fuck. I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care.
Last thought.
Care. Oh, well, you know what? The rest of the AFC North, their quarterbacks were there. I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care. Joe Burrow still said he's only at 80%. So I don't fucking care.
I will. I, for how much I love the Browns, I do love Joe Burrow a lot. And that's a future story. But for this year, look, here's the thing. I've been around this team enough to know they're going to win big, and they're going to win a lot of games. This OTA stuff is just – this is the first time in my career I'm like, I think this is just banter.
No,
I don't think any of it's a big deal. I'm glad Myles Garrett's retiring, and sadly, Jared, I might have to go.
Myles Garrett retiring from basketball.
Basketball.
From basketball, according to Coach Stefanski, because Miles looked like a beast on the court. You all seen it on Instagram. But coach don't want him rolling an ankle, and that would be awful because he's not gonna set the edge without an ankle. That's about it. Final thought. I still got to watch the OBJ Instagram video.
That was interesting, and we'll talk about that more in the next show. But that was interesting. OBJ is the one person I'm interested to see in the offseason. I am interested by OBJ.
We are brought to you by Waiting for Next Year. Check them out, Original Cleveland Sports Reporting at waitingfornextyear.com. Make sure you shoot us an email if you feel like it. AndyandJared@gmail.com. AndyandJared, J-A-R-I-D @gmail.com. Check out the website and the show at clevelandbeyond.net, clevelandbeyond.net on Twitter, @CLEandBeyond, @CLEandBeyond. And after all these Indians games, Andy is right there live on Instagram @OfficialClevelandSports, @OfficialClevelandSports. He's Andy Billman. I'm Jared Watson. And thank you to Evergreen Podcasts. Everybody, talk again soon. Go Browns. Andy, go do whatever it is you got to do. Important
go,
business.
Go OTAs. Who's in OTA camp? Walker camp?
I don't fucking know.
Who fucking cares?
I don't fucking care. They're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't fucking care.
Sipping the champagne for the winds in the fall.
Oh, you know what I love?
What's that?
Browns, was it Pro Football Focus? Has the Browns at 10.5 and the Ravens at 11? Okay. Okay. Good. Good. Bulletin board. Hang that up. Oh, Zeke's a better running back than Nick Chubb?
Ooh,
according to CBS? Not even close. Not even close. Gah. Everybody, talk again very soon. No more long hiatus. Love you, miss you. Love you, miss you, Andy.
I love you, miss you.
Take care, everybody.
Love Kenny Lofton.
Love Kenny Lofton.
Oh. Got Tued. In LA, he had Tued last week.
I bet.
I love that
we'll
guy.
We'll talk more about that. Good night. Take care.
Cleveland and Beyond with Andy and Jared is a part of Evergreen Podcast. You can follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/Cleveland and Beyond, on Twitter at @CLEandBeyond, or shoot them an email at AndyandJared@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit the website, clevelandandbeyond.net.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.